Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is James, a.k.a. Lips, and right now you're checking out an Uncensored Radio Retro Wednesday from December 16th, 2011. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me, featuring Jeff and Katrina. Enjoy. Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
Unstoppable Original Uncensored Radio.
Hello, everybody. It's Friday, December 16th, and as rumors are true, Karen and Michael are away, and they have left Katrina and I at the helm?
Epic no. fail at the helm. They left us at the helm. Epic fail on their part. Let's have some fun. No, because
I know that's a
they
true
left,
story.
Yeah, well, because they left the two lunatics at the helm. We are going to talk about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you
and me. Let's talk about you and me. Oh, wait, how are you going to just leave your thing
Yep, yep.
And bad things that make me. Now we owe TLC some money, right? No, no, no. Sal Pepper, excuse me. Whoa, it was so wrong.
Well, I am currently crashing a Christmas party because that's what I do.
Ooh.
You know, tis the season. I mean, you don't just have to crash weddings. I say crashing Christmas parties is better than weddings because all these people are gainfully employed. There's an open bar. And sometimes there's gifts.
I was going to say, do you take the gifts of the folks that don't show up and you claim to be them?
Of course I do. I do all of the above, but I wait till everybody's wasted, and then I get away with whatever I want. Sometimes I use an accent.
Okay, Mike.
Today I was British. Hello, love. How do you do? Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. It's been such a pleasure. I do definitely appreciate your gift. What a lovely gesture. And, you know, as long as you're gracious, they don't have a problem hosting you. So, we're going to talk about some sex, and I think anybody out there who has ever been inappropriate at a work Christmas party should call us. Give us your dirty details. Let us know anything, any indiscretion that you probably shouldn't have done while at a company function. Or, in particularly, company Christmas party, I'm dying to know.
Oh, and Katrina, it just so happens, you know, Mike never plays these because he feels he's too good for them. But if you're listening and you have a crazy office story, do this.
If you'd like to share your thoughts on any of our topics, just give us a call here at the show. That's 323-417-6705, and just be sure to push 1 to be brought on air.
Katrina, I don't know about you, but that kind of sounded like Mike was a little constipated in that.
I thought he sounded British, kind of like Simon Cowell. I bet you he's a freak. You know, the mean ones
sure.
are always good. They're like tigers. I bet you Simon Cowell is so wound up, he's just like a lion on the hunt. Even though the female lions do all the hunting, I bet you Simon Cowell is a male lion on the hunt.
Yeah, I bet,
like
yeah,
me,
he's probably
like
a freak man.
I like me an English accent because no matter what they do, they can't sound tough.
No. Well, they never sound ghetto either. They always sound like they're telling you off in such a nice, polite way.
Right, like, I'm going to throw you up against the wall. Oh, really? Okay.
I like, you know, I'm going to throw you up against the wall and fuck your brains out. Like, to me, like, that doesn't even sound dirty. Like, I can't even report you to human resources. Like, we're just going to take care of some business.
That makes me just want to giggle. Come on, I want to laugh.
That's cute.
It's like, really? Is that what you think? Okay. So.
My aunt met some dude.
Well, tell me, have you ever had any indiscretions at a holiday party or at an office event? Mm-hmm. I know you've got some dirt in there. Let me in. Inquiring minds want to know.
I had this one experience. So what had happened was, this door needs to close and I need to be left alone to do my show. You need to go. Years ago, in my younger yesteryear, I was skinny and I was really hot. Everybody loved me.
You're
so,
gorgeous.
You know, I was
like, after. Like a 14-year-old supermodel. Go ahead.
In like gay years, you know, you were loved and, you know, you were kind of like the hit boy of the club and it kind of happened and I became best friends with the nightclub that I owned. I didn't own, but they owned. And, you know, whatever, I became best friends. I'd stay at their house on the weekends while we were all working because I worked in a town out of town, so it was kind of crazy. It just so happened, their names were, fuck it, Frank and Anthony. Frank and I happened to be
Frank
best friends.
Frank and Anthony, you just got ratted out. Boom!
They did. And if you ever get really curious, you can go search MySpace. I'm pretty sure my profile is still up. And there's charades photos. You'll find them. Go ahead and take a little sneak peek. It's really fun. Like, I'm just going to put it on blast. It's not like nobody don't know the story.
We're letting it all hang out tonight here at Unscripted Radio. Go to MySpace. Check it out in the charade photos. And you'll know exactly the two bosses that we're talking about that get down and dirty with their employees. Talk about a loose... What's that?
What's that? Frank was, like, the older, like, getting guy, you know, like, totally looks older Italian, but, like, you know how some, like, Italian guys kind of look dirty? But I don't know if dirty is the word I want to say, but, you know, just, like, not hot. They're kind of grease monkeys.
A little greasy, like, dirty hot?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like a Johnny Depp. Like, you
know,
haven't soured, but I'm still intrigued.
Okay, but Frank became my best friend, and, like, well, he would never be that hot enough guinea for me. Like, you know, like, there's not an imaginative bone in my body. Like, I just don't have that much imagination. Sorry, Frank. And
sorry,
on the other
Frank.
Hand, he was like me. He used to be fat, got skinny, whatever. I don't know. Their relationship, like, they were the gays. They, like, did the whole, like, threesome thing. Like, they'd do it on the chat line at night and, like, or be at the club and, like, pick somebody up and take them home. So
okay, so they wanted to
crazy.
Bring you in or what happened?
No, they didn't want to move in.
Explain this employee relationship that you had with them.
Well, you know, we were just all really close. You know, the first place I went where we were like, hey... You know, they would talk about their sex life, and I'm like, well, this is the weirdest thing ever. Like, nobody I know, we don't talk about.
Give me one grimy detail that all of our listeners should know.
Well, it was a big chat line thing after the club. We would go out, and they'd get on the chat line, and I went with them one night to, like, go look at this potential guy, like, down at the Denny's, and he, like, had on some cowboy boots and some wig and some fake rice titties and shit, and everybody
That's
was just like, oh, no, no.
That's exactly what I wore last night.
Did you have rice titties?
Of course. Sometimes if they're not perky enough, you got to stuff them with whatever, and I used rice.
I mean, it was kind of that. So anyways, these guys, whatever, like Frank was in love with this other guy, and everybody kind of knew it. Anthony knew it, whatever, and he was upset. So finally one night, it was actually right around Christmas. It was like for 12th or somewhere in there, where like kind of came to a head and everybody went nuts. There was this whole big fight outside of the bar. And Frank took off all dramatic and gay, and he's like, go home and take care of Anthony because he's devastated. So I went home, took care of Anthony. Anthony got me drunk, and well, needless to say, it was a bad situation. So, you know, it happens. It was not cute.
Well, give us a detail. Like, tell me something that we need to know about it. Other than that, he was your boss, and you were his underling on top of him.
Well, come to find out, he was like a big slut, and like he liked to sleep with a lot of people. And I was like the big brute.
Yeah.
So,
were you the sexy, sweet, innocent boy toy? Because I'm looking for one of those.
I totally was, and I was like the cute one at the time because I went from fat to skinny. They all kind of saw the transformation. So everybody was kind of like a little bit in love with the shop boy.
Of course.
You know, so I went from like the chubby kid that worked, you know, because if you're a bouncer, odds are, you know, you're either really muscular or you're like the chubby kind of wannabe kid. And then, like, you get really skinny, and then they want you to kind of be front and center. They want you to bartend, and they want you to do shots. And, like, I particularly liked the shots because I could be out and around in the bar.
What was your uniform?
It was literally just a T-shirt they made you wear. Like, well, they didn't even make you wear it. Like, you could kind of do whatever you wanted. But, like, there was
I would have worn a net and some booty.
But talking about not people we should have sex with, there was the oldest, like, nastiest guys. Like, just picture the ugliest, freakiest, nasty person you've ever met in your life, okay?
So you got it on with your old boss.
Oh,
and
are you
good? It was hard to be with your boss or what?
What
is that made you say yes, minus the alcohol?
I was young and I even was stupid. And I thought he liked me. And I was like, I could be, instead of being the princess of the nightclub, I could be the queen. Needless to say, I ran away because I got scared and I couldn't deal with it. It was way too much drama for me and way too young. And I got paid off. Yeah, I totally got paid. No, fuck that. Because I was like, I need to walk away from this. And I think it's your fault because you coerced me and you got me drunk and I'm underage. So, I need money to live off.
Wait a minute.
Did I fail to mention that part of the story a little earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I wasn't nobody's fool. I may have been naive. I may be a prude. But, honey, if I got to leave my... I mean, because it was a crazy boat for me. Like, I made a lot of cash at this nightclub. You know, if I'm going to step away because I can't handle it because you put me under too much stress, you got to pay me. So that's exactly what he did.
What?
and then, like, that was, I don't know, I left January, but then I was back by June.
Oh, were you evasive?
But then that was even, that was the even bigger scandal is when I went back to the nightclub because, you know, I was like the fallen princess. And then all of a sudden I come back and everybody's like, what the fuck? You know, because the that go around are just absolutely asinine. Like, there was one rumor at this club that the reason why I got the shop boy job was because I was giving away free cocaine in the back room. And I just looked at them and I was like, honey, if I was giving away free cocaine, I wouldn't need to work here.
Hello. Right? I'd be giving it away in my mansion, bitch.
Yeah, right?
Okay, so you were the boss's boy toy. I like that.
Boss's boy toy and the other boss is Dr. Phil.
Oh, all right. So you're instrumental.
Because he was in love with somebody else. And if you're in love with somebody else, you can't even get nice up with your man.
Wow. Okay.
Right?
So you're smart.
How can you get mad?
I don't know. But you're brave for entering into a couple situation and offering various services to both. Everyone's needs are met. Okay. Do we have an applause button?
Oh gosh. Sometimes I wish Mikey was here.
I wish he was here, but since he's not, I'll stall until you give me that damn applause button. I would like to applaud you for getting in the way of a couple.
They weren't a very good couple, though. I have to tell you, Cal, like, they really were, like, the quintessential gay guys that kind of give gay marriage and all of that a really bad relationship because, they were with each other.
Their own version. Everybody has their own version of their relationship and what works for them. And you, my dear, worked for them. So good for you.
I cannot say
that I have, ever gone down the boss route. I've been sought after quite a few times because I was a flight attendant on a private jet, and it's kind of just understood that when you are a billionaire's flight attendant or nanny, that goes with the territory.
Right. Now, and Mama used to be a nanny, too, but that's a different story.
Okay. But I never went there because, one, they're all nasty, and two, they're all married. So,
honey,
I can't
be that nasty. Billions.
I'm telling you, just because they got money doesn't mean they do anything with it to fix their face or their flap.
Okay. No.
So,
this is not true.
I'm just saying, But everybody, of course, thought I was because they're like, oh, hot little blonde, young little thing, of course. And I'm like, whatever. It's expected. If you drive a nice car and get a nice salary, it can't be because you have a degree and you're worthy. It has to be because you're stepping the boss. Whatever.
Right.
Fine.
Absolutely.
It's expected. Whatever. But I did maybe perhaps almost find a, somehow kind of sort of have an affair with a professor.
I always wanted to.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. It's just as bad, except unfortunately he doesn't pay me. Damn it.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it was, though, that whole, a little bit of an authority figure, but the fact that he was smart. I was in college.
Right.
I was a B20. He was a biology professor. But he wasn't creepy and fucking old. He was, like, in his 20s. And I was like...
So he knew your anatomy.
Yeah, wow. Not yet. Called, don't, not yet. And he didn't know my physiology yet either. What happened was... I was working as a flight attendant, so I was gone for weeks at a time. But I'm not a scientific mind, not in the least. And so, obviously, if I miss a week, a day, or a minute of biology class, I need tutoring. So that's what happened. I said, listen, here's the deal. I'm going through a lot at home. I need to help with my family. My mom's really ill. I need to work. So this is just what's happening. I'm working a lot. But I also need good grades. That's just what I have to do. It's my deal to myself. I need to do it. So is there any way I can get you to tutor me? And I don't want any special breaks or anything, but I do want special tutoring. Can you teach me whatever I've missed and just answer my questions? So he said, yeah,
okay.
You're very professional. I didn't think anything of it.
Did
yep.
you totally had... want him? Did you want him at this point?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. I just needed tutoring. I was borderline retarded with biology. What the hell did I know? Nothing. I mean, if you want to talk to me about geology, I'll go off on diamonds all day. But you want to talk to me about, like, bugs and cells and shit? No, that's not my thing. So I was clueless. So I really did need tutoring, and I really did get tutoring. And I'm a good student. I'm not so slow usually, so... I ended up getting an A in the class, and nothing had happened yet, and then the semester was over, and I got an invitation to an end-of-the-semester party at his house, and it said something along the lines of Biology 101, Professor Brett, Biology 101, hello. Wants to congratulate you on a great ending, and let's celebrate, right? Like, good job, everybody, right? So I'm like, okay, cool, fine, I'll go, because, you know, I would like to tell him thank you, because there's no way, one, I would have passed, and no way, two, that I'd have kept up my straight A's without him and his tutoring. So I was going to go and tell him thank you and give him a Christmas card and whatever, just say thanks and then leave. Well, when I get there, I brought my girlfriend, who's also, you know, a college student. It was no other student.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a total setup. We were the only students there.
Oh.
Hmm.
What a skeever.
Oh, yeah. Total creeper. Yeah, full-on creeper. Professor Brett, you're a creeper. But I still didn't quite catch on. Like, because he taught me so well and he was so professional while he was tutoring me, I thought everything was above board. Everything was cool. So I'm like, well, no, it's fine. He's nice. I guess the other students just haven't gotten here yet or whatever. I don't really know students because I miss the class a lot. You know, whatever. I don't know. So... we stay like 2 hours and no other students show up. And then we realize it's just us. And my best friend's really smart. She was pre-law. And she starts interrogating the rest of the guests, finding out how they know him. And it turns out none of them know that I was his student. And when they asked him who I was, he said I was a some sort of a teacher's aide.
What?
He did not tell his friends and his cohorts that I was a student. It was hush-hush. And then after that, we hung out towards the tail end of the party, and then we hung out a few times. We dated for a little bit. And then I was like, you know, it's a little too creepy or a little too creeperish for me. I ended it, and then he became a little stalkerish. It was, like, creepy. And he had his mother call me because I told him he was psycho. He had his mom call me, and she called me. She's like, Kat, honey, I'm Brett's mom. I'm just calling to let you know. Brett is not psycho. He's not a psycho. He's a good guy.
What?
Well, I'm like, listen, lady, your son just called me 140 times in 2 hours. I'm like, that's less than that. That's almost a call a minute for 2 hours. Like, what? Like, what are you doing? He is psycho. I'm sorry. I can't do it. And if you have to have your mom call me to tell me you're not crazy, you're crazy. So, moral of the story, never go to your professor's
house. Wait. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're telling me this professor's mother calls you to tell you
that he wasn't crazy because he told her we were going to get married. I'm like, we hung out a few times, and I really had this profound respect for you because you're amazingly intelligent. You run a classroom. I think that's sexy. And I really respect people that give back. I think the teacher's giving back. You're educating our youth, people who need it. And, you know, I really like that. You're not making $1 billion. You're doing something worthy. You're doing something amazing with your time. I like that. And it blew up in my face.
Do you at least get straight A's?
I didn't even see it coming. So the moral of the story is never go to a party thrown by a professor. Even if he's young, even if it seems like everybody's going, because maybe they're not.
See, that's crazy to me because I always wanted to sleep with my teacher. Always. Like, I literally had plans, like I was going to have it happen. Like, I was totally that kid.
Most people do. It's proven. It's just any authority figure becomes attractive, especially a teacher or a boss. So usually when it comes to teachers, especially in college, with sexually active young students, it's crazy. It happens all the time, and it goes unreported because both parties aren't fair. But it's, you know, it's in a lot of novels. It's in a lot of, women's books that are steamy that you read on the shore or in a lounger at the pool with some wine. Those kind of novels. But it happens a lot, and it's supposed to be like that. But in my case, no. No.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the key is don't date your biology professor because that's too boring. Get an exciting one.
No way. Like, I don't think it matters as long as it's a teacher. Like, I would have totally done him twice.
Well, the problem is when they like you way more than you like them, the allure is broken and it's no longer hot and you don't need to ship them. It's not cute.
But I mean, I totally get that. That's like a bad plot line of Melrose Place, you know? Like,
yep.
When, like, the teacher wants you way more. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, then it becomes the status. I told you I tracked the creepers.
I completely agree. Like, I mean, you know, we were sharing prison stories the other night.
My what story?
You missed it, but last night, when Karen was on or whatever, we were talking about Oh, God. I have an ex that's in prison, and we were kind of chatting about that a little bit, and I'm not going to go into it again. If
oh,
you want to hear any of
the stuff,
I tell.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know the whole story.
WUnscriptedRadio.com, and you can listen on demand anytime to last night's show and find out about the ex in prison. And Karen's crazy stalker that was, like, followed her to New York City from L.A. Like, this is Amanda.
Oh, yeah.
But
and then still
those are the people you don't
want to
have sex with.
Yeah. What?
Those are the ones you don't want to have sex with because they're crazy.
Oh, yeah, no. You can't go there. You can't stop them. If you do, forget about it. You're like, No, I never even did anything with any of my stalkers. They were just nuts, though. Nothing ever happened. There was never a kiss or a hug or a handshake. Nothing. And not even for years. Yeah, no, even Mr. Professor didn't see the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But he still thought that it was going to happen, and his mom had to call and tell me he wasn't psycho, and it was never going to happen then. Are you kidding me? Professors are supposed to be.
Well, Katrina, I don't know if it's you sleeping with your biology professor that's got everybody excited or thinking about it, where our switchboard just like lit up like crazy. But it could have been one of our lovely listeners, me too, telling everybody that we're giving away. Wait, let me just pop this back up for a second so I can get it right. We are calling in for the free 3-night, 4-day New Year's Eve vacation giveaway in New York. LOL, sledding optional.
Okay.
Well, see, because, you know, I have this huge annual New Year's Eve party.
Uh-huh.
So they're all helping us, you know, maybe making a little certain person, our little computer nerd friend on our show, making him mad. And we're blowing up the ratings tonight just because, you know, we're fantastic and we're talking about sex.
And because we're wild and we're not boring and we're not scared to let it all hang out.
You know, speaking of letting it all hang out.
Right.
I hate when it happens. But Katrina, no, we actually have a caller on the line. Should we take them?
Of course.
Somebody
let them all in. I've been telling my people to call, let them in.
Okay. So we have 937 on the line. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Karen.
Hello.
No. You mean Katrina?
I thought it was hey, gang. It's cool. We're past it. What's up?
Tell us what's on your mind. What?
I said, tell us what's on your mind. We're talking about sex tonight. What's cracking?
Nothing. I just wanted to talk just general.
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well,
Hold on. What is your name, sir?
Ian.
Ian. Oh, hi, honey. She's not
Ian from Ohio. The Mets.
Yeah.
You
of
did the
course,
politics
sorry,
thing,
Ian.
Right?
Hey. Well, Jenna, our love, is not with us tonight. You wanted to talk to her?
No, just talk to you.
Oh, well, you can talk to me. Okay, yes. What's happening? We're talking about sex, though, so you're going to have to give me a good story. Here are your options. One, have you ever hooked up with a teacher or a boss? Or a person of authority, or a coworker, or a boyfriend or girlfriend's spouse, girlfriend, lover, whatever. Have you ever been with someone you shouldn't have been with? Tell us about it.
Oh, that's easy. My classmate.
We're waiting. We're waiting. Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, my classmate. See.
Uh huh.
See, she.
Tell me the details. I need it quick. I'm chomping at the bit here. What's up? Tell me your
question.
What happened? How did it go down?
Well, one time we were doing the show Beauty and the Beast, and apparently someone dared her to sleep with me. And
that's not a dare.
It's a dare, yeah. And I'm
that's
like,
dare.
Well, that's, Well, here's the thing. I told her, if you're just doing it for a dare, then, you know, this seems pointless. But, you know, long story short.
Why does it seem pointless?
Well, to me, it does. I'm in it for a relationship.
If somebody's going to sleep with you on a dare, take the free cookie and run.
Amen, brother. So what you're saying is you have standards and you can't shtup someone on a dare. But that being said, were you, sir, able to perform under pressure?
Yes, I was.
Wow! Where's the applause? Maestro, I need the applause button.
Oh, shit, really?
Get it
really?
Out. Yes. He
really?
Performed under pressure, under a dare, with his classmates. Thank you. Ian,
but now,
at least she wasn't.
Thank
but
you
now
for
helping.
We certainly, at least he wasn't a chicken. We certainly have a profound respect for you, dear.
Yes, we do.
Thank you so much.
Ian,
that was amazing.
You know, Katrina, I've got to tell you, he's been totally like a regular on the show lately.
Well, I'm proud of him. I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Ian. We love you. That's good.
Okay. Your sheriff, Tony, Tony, your sheriff is talking about there was this one donkey show.
What?
Can we just talk about this for a minute? Okay,
Tony,
look,
get yourself on the phone right now. Can I tell you my donkey show info? Here's
you went to a donkey show?
Well, see, what happened was I was born in San Diego. Everybody speaks Spanish, right? Right. Everybody goes to Tijuana. You park, like, right on the United States side, and you walk over, like, two blocks. And then you take a $4 cab to Avenida de Revolucion. Revolution! Yeah! Woo! And you can drink if you're 18 or whatever, just if you're hot, and that's all the kids do. Well, I used to go shopping, like, with my mom and my aunt and my cousins, and, like, we didn't get crazy. We got a little nuts, but not crazy. But what happened was, when I was a flight attendant, I flew a Mexican billionaire around all over Mexico. He's the largest supplier of Hispanic groceries to North America. So he was big ballin'. And I had to kind of learn Spanish. So I learned it, but basically, all I remember how to say was, take me to El Cine de Burro, which
what?
Means, like, take me to the donkey show. So, clearly that's very usable. Now, anytime I run into a Spanish-speaking person, I'm like, so, do you like art? Do you like cinema? Do you like shows? Do you like El Cine de Burro? And you'd be amazed how many people say yes.
Okay, well, Serena, I'm going to tell you. Yeah. I know in the very beginning of the show, there was a couple guys on the show with us. And we had this conversation about a donkey show. And I'm sorry, but if I was in Mexico and I passed like a thing and it was a donkey show, I'm sorry. I'm curious. I'm a nosy person.
You know what?
I wouldn't stay to watch, but I'd have to go and at least check it out and see what the hell it's all about. Like, you know, it's not my shtick. It's not my thing. But I'm nosy.
I need to see it. I don't even know if it really actually truly exists. I don't know if I believe it. Like, I'm not a lot of people that said they went. Pilots, all pilots out there, you're freaks, you know who you are. Yeah, oh yeah, they all told me they went, at least 10 of them, and it's like I kind of believe them because I'm one of the guys. They wouldn't really lie to me about that stuff. Like, we have an open exchange, but I just still can't picture it. Like, in Amsterdam, they have a live sex show. And it's kind of like you buy a ticket, you go into a regular theater, and you sit in the red velvet cushy seat, and there's a stage in the middle of the round theater, and everybody can see, and you don't really know what's going on. And what they'll do sometimes is they'll victimize people. And the person I went with, my co-traveler, got called up on stage, but we didn't know it because it looked like it was two different lines. So I took the line to the left, and he was taken in the line to the right. And as it turns out, I went to a seat, the red velvet theater seat, and it's dark, and you can't really tell what's going on. The lights go on, 2 minutes later, he's on stage with a girl that is stumping some guy, and it's like a live, real action show, and he's just up on stage with them not knowing what to do. And then she dismisses her giant German Hans and asks him to come step in. Now, why was Sweet Innocent and Mormon had no idea what was going on? He was my pilot. We were there on business. He didn't know what it was. He didn't know what the show was. I snuck him in there. I didn't tell him. I thought it would be really funny, but I didn't know he was going to get, like, victimized on stage. So these live stage shows really do exist. I've never seen one in America, but I've seen them in other countries. And I'm curious, so I kind of just want to see what happens. But it actually happens. Like, they actually do stuff. There was some girl from Vietnam who would pick up quarters and spit them at you with something.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Okay, no. See, that's something I really want to see. What's the whole ping pong ball thing?
That happens.
Psychic, me too, just said ping pong, anyone? That's what I'm talking about, ping pong. I've asked every girl that I know, all my friends that I'm obviously close with, that I can ask these kind of questions. I was like, look, do you think maybe we could sit down some night and have a few glasses of wine and get a bunch of ping pong balls and see if you can hit me in the head? You know, not one person will say yes. They are, you know, they want to have an open heart.
I'm not saying my aim is good, but I'm saying I could hit a body part.
Okay, but I'm saying that's all I want to see. It's like, you ain't got to hit me in the forehead. Just aim at me. I just want to see it come out with that much pressure. That's all I'm asking. And none of my friends will do it.
I haven't actually seen that one, but I bet it could happen. I probably couldn't do it. I might get stage fright. But I bet you I know someone. I live in Vegas. I bet you I got someone that can make it happen. We're going to make it happen.
Skype does not count.
Probably at the wedding. Probably at the bachelor party.
Absolutely.
Just for simple entertainment purposes. Not for stimulation purposes. Entertainment purposes.
Oh, honey, look at the last thing seeing a ping pong shoot out of any orifice is going to do is turn me on, especially one that's of a woman part. I mean, that's just horrific to me.
Right. Yeah, no, it's just fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but that's, you know, God, I'm so glad my mother's not listening tonight, guys. I'm just going to put it out there for real because she really wouldn't be losing her gourd. But, you know, like, it really is just, I don't know, like a lot of these things that, like, I would never do because I'm a prude. But I'm curious, you know, so when I hear that, like, I take a little peek, like, you know, our angry midget, we all love her. Like, it's real, I have to tell you, she's truly traumatized me. She loves the poor, you know. I should dial her in. I hope she's not listening to her grandparents. She's at her grandparents right now who are diehard Republicans. So if they're listening right now, midget, you may want them to change the channel.
That's
so
fun.
We're at the house one night. She pulls up this porn site, and it's like hardcore, like, kind of craziness where this chick's, like, got her arms above her head, and they're, like, tied up and stuff, you know? And she's, like, standing, and they've saran-wrapped her body, and then they put clothespins around her nipples.
I've seen
something.
And
flicking the clothespins. Okay, I have never seen something like that in my life. So at this point now, I'm already traumatized. Well, then we go a little down south to the nether regions. And he's got this pump thing for the woman part.
What?
And at this point, this is where I start losing my mind. Because now he's doing this pump on her piece, you know, it was her clitoris. And so I'm losing my gourd because, you know, it's been years since I've seen one of those. And the last time, I can't even tell you what year it was.
You came out of one thousand up for you, right?
Yeah, like I'm saying. So, totally, like, when they were done with this, she could have turned around and she could have done him. Like, I was traumatized. Like, ever since then, I swore off all internet porn. Like, nobody can watch it, man. Like, it's not good. Because you don't ever know what's going to come up. I mean, it truly traumatized me for life. Like, I'm nosy, but I'm not that nosy.
Wow.
I didn't even know those things existed.
You know, I'm pretty nosy. And one thing I have to say, I'll admit this on air, part of my
oh, no.
some of my dirty laundry is I used to love living in Burbank because they had this store, Odyssey Video, and you could rent adult videos. And they had everything. Like, you could buy it or you could rent it. But my thing is, after you see it once, what do you need to buy it for? You kind of already know what happened. So that's how I saw, because I'm a voyeur. I like to watch. I like to see what other people are doing, like weird stuff. Like, I saw Tabitha Stevens put all these hooks and crap in her back and, like, hang from the ceiling. I saw people get, like, restrained by bungees and then have weird stuff happen. I saw Kim Kardashian. I saw Paris Hilton. I saw all that stuff for $2. God bless Odyssey Video. I'm just saying. You can rent it. Please do. It's the best way just to know. Because there's
Katrina.
Things I'd like to see or know that I would never do. Yes?
Do you ever make it to Albuquerque?
What?
Do you ever make it to Albuquerque, New Mexico?
I've been there a few times.
Okay,
my
well, there's this club.
I like
there's this club downtown.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the name, but the one of the girls I nannied for, her best friend was getting married, and she, you know, they were from New Mexico, so we flew out there, and, like, she put me at her wedding. Like, I had no idea who she was, but she's like, oh, you're my best friend's gay nanny, so you have to be in the wedding. So we're, like, trying to plan our baseball party, so we run to, like, the adult store. So we meet the guy who's, like, bringing us out, and he's, like, obviously realizing I'm gay. So he's like, yeah, I run this great, like, I'm a DJ at this gay nightclub. And we play, like, all 80s music and blah, blah, blah. So we're like, great, oh, my God, so this is where we're going to go. So we get all the stuff together, we go. Okay, and he's like, there's a front part and a back part. We go in the front, it's, like, techno mixed weird 80s, not really what we were looking for, and he wasn't even there. So in the back. In the back part of the club, the bar was upstairs. We go upstairs, we look over, and there's this big bitch, and I mean big bitch, okay, hanging with, like, hooks in her kneecaps. Like, the hooks are in her skin, and she's hanging from them. And I'm just like, without missing a beat, I reached around, I grabbed my drink off the bar, I grabbed my friend's drink off the bar, and I just started hugging him, and I'm like, you ain't gonna believe what I just saw. So, of course, when everybody wants to go downstairs and see for a minute, and I'm like, no. This big bitch is hanging from shit in her skin that she shouldn't be hanging from. She's going to die. And I don't really want to be here when her skin finally gets out because it can't possibly be this tough. Because when I tell you she was a big girl, I'm talking like she was a big girl.
Right. Oh, I believe you.
Like, and I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, how is this sanitary to do in a place of business where drinks are being served? Like, blood could be split. I'm like, this was just, no. You know, and I thought something was wrong when everybody I went in there, all the straight guys had more eyeliner on than me. I really did think something was wrong, frankly.
Wow. Yeah, now, see, some of that stuff is interesting. Like, I heard my friends went to a club and there's, like, it's like a dungeon. And it was so fascinating. They're, like, everybody's in fetish gear. And they had a few different stages. And instead of dance podiums, they'd have a cage. And clients or just regular customers of the bar could go in the cage, lay on the ground, and get stepped on by a chick in ginormous, really sharp, 8-inch patent leather stiletto heels. And these guys would just line up to take their shirt off and lay there. She walked across his back in these sharp stilettos. Then, on the other side of the room, they would have the same scenario, like a podium but with a cage in it and a light, and then they would get spanked. Now, But it was, like, serious. Like, dominatrix style beat the crap out of you. Now, I understand, like, hey, give me a cute little spanking, okay, hot. I do not understand you giving me welts or bruises or anything painful or walking on my back with a stiletto. I will pay a tiny Asian to walk on my back at the Four Seasons, okay?
Bitch, we are not hiking Tina. Sit down.
Right. I will not go to a club and have someone puncture my vertebra with her 8 inches. No. That's just not happening. Right.
Mm-mm.
insane. I'll go and watch, but I want nothing to do with it.
That to me is like freaks me out. Like, I mean, I guess I could try to understand the psyche of somebody that maybe wants to be dominated, but like, and I know some friends, like some lesbians, one of them in particular is our midget. Her and her other little midget girlfriend, who actually just got married to some other person this week. She's going to kill me for saying all this. But so literally it was like the day before Easter, and like they were like into some crazy shit, you know, tie each other with ropes or whatever. And the one girl choked the shit out of the midget, totally busted every capillary in her face, and she had to go to Easter dinner with her family, would have busted capillaries all over her face.
No!
Oh, yes. And I was like, bitch, that's what you get for acting foul in the bedroom. That's what you get. Her face was fucked. How do you go show up for Easter dinner with your grandma and not be like, well, what happened was a homegirl over there, she had some nylon rope and was choking the shit out of me.
Yeah, well, it's nice. What you do is you say, listen, I just had a facial yesterday. I thought it was going to be okay. I was allergic to the clarifying lotion. So sorry.
But little Shannon,
me for being high maintenance. That's what you do in the situation. Just call me. I'll tell you what to say. Just call me. I'll tell you how to handle it all. See what happened was I had an allergic reaction, and it was it was the lotion. My bad. Sorry. I didn't want blackheads for family Easter dinner. My bad.
Well, this midget, you know, our angry midget, has had way too many sexual experiences. They're just hysterical. And one of them was with another friend of ours that kind of did the Chad Bonell thing and, like, did the whole, they became Captain T. And then I don't know what happens. I don't know if this happened to Chad Bonell, but our friend in particular, like, started getting the testosterone shots and then became, like, this crazy-ass psychotic nympho that literally would fuck a boy or a girl, anything that moved, really, in particular. Didn't matter if you were ugly, fat, white, Cuban, Asian. Like, he wanted to knock your brains out.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, didn't matter. Just, like, horny on them. So they have sex. And little shit, you know, it's like, this whole time, it's just like, I like it rough, blah, 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 you know, busted capillaries. So we're all like, yeah, get it. You know, you two will be perfect together. Well, they have sex. This bitch comes back the next day, and she's traumatized. And I mean, I've never seen it. And now, when she was with a straight, she was married to a guy, and, like, he beat the shit out of her, like, horrible, you know? And she came back, you know, she's like, no. She's like, dude, she's like, that wasn't cool. She's like, it kind of reminded me of this motherfucker. Like, it wasn't right. You know, she's like, and then this is the line that came out, and we now have all out here. We just love it. It's our favorite. And the person that she was talking about, you know, wasn't trying to be, but just, you know, we all thought that's how she liked it. So being somebody's friend like that, if you think that's how they like it and you guys have sex, like, wouldn't you kind of be that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
obviously, there's nothing going down that I'm not 1,000% into or instigating. And I really know the person ahead of time and make sure 1,000,000% that I'm going to a restaurant I like, I'm going to a movie I like, I'm meeting your parents that I'm going to like, and I am kissing you if I like it, holding your hand if I like it, going to shiatsu with you if I like it. That's why you got to know whoever you're trying to do what you're trying to do with, because I am not
bite
mark like a damn vampire.
Oh, no. See, Lil Chan, the midget likes that kind of stuff. But this bitch got done, you know, the next day or whatever, because I was like, well, just hook up, you know, you guys haven't been with anybody for a while, just do your thing, you know, like, take care of some business, like, screw it, you're all single and ready to mingle. Well, she's like, no, you don't understand this. She said, this bitch, she goes, that bitch, she will rule rough. I don't know why, but I'm like, excuse me? She said, you heard me, rule rough. I lost my shit. Like, to me, rude rough. Like, I'm like, you mean she wasn't nice, bro? She was rude, bro? Like, we said we could do it.
Hey,
you okay?
Hold on. I need some sound with that. Come on. What do we do? We're falling down on the job here. Give me some sound effect. We came up with a new term.
I'm out of control.
Again.
That's all I got.
Do again.
Again?
Again.
I'm out of control!
That made you a drag rough!
The following is intended only for mature audiences.
Thank you for clarifying. Yes. That bitch was rude rough. Nah.
Yes,
you
fucking rude rough. Right? Like, that was one of my favorite things. So then the best part is, so now, you know, Midget, I have to say, you know, she's not one of those friends you want to tell something to because everybody and their brother knows. Well, so we all know, but we didn't happen to tell the rude rough friend. But, you know, I have to be the person that I see a joke opening and I'm going to take it. So we're all drinking one night, like a month or two after this all happened, right? And, like, there's maybe, like, 10, 15 of us there. Everybody knows the story, but the only, except for, you know, Rude Ruff, because nobody's told him that he's Rude Ruff. So, of course, like, I'm in the middle of a sentence, and I'm like, oh, that motherfucker, you know, that bitch is like Rude Ruff and shit. Everybody starts dying. And, of course, Rude Ruff thinks it's, you know, like, I'm that person. Yeah, like, I'm totally like, dude, shut up. And so then eventually this fool's laughing like a damn fool, thinking he's in on some joke, you know, like, it's just funny, Rude Ruff's funny.
Hilarious, that's funny.
Right? It was horrible. Horrible.
Wow.
But you know who's got a crazy sex story, and I don't know if it's going to happen. But the crazy cat lady, I don't know what the hell's going on with this bitch. But, you know, she listens all the time. She has not been listening lately. I don't know if one of the cats died.
Guess what you want, how you want it. The thing is, you should probably find out some parameters ahead of time and find out if someone else is down for you to be rude, rough. Say, so, are you rude easily? Are you anemic? What's your blood type? How do you feel about strangling? I don't know. Get a grip on it, sir. Open-minded or not, shoot, I'm just saying. It's, you know, things you need to know. Otherwise, you're going to enter into things and make it say,
Well,
like,
I'm telling you, though.
I'm sorry. I just need to ask you something real quick. Have you been in a situation where you were approached with something way too freaky and you're like, no.
I've been approached with somebody that's way too freaky?
You personally ever been approached with anything like that? Like, maybe it wasn't someone asking you to do something. Maybe it was someone asking you about something. Maybe you heard something you didn't like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, wait. I've got a little, well, for me personally, it was this bitch that, you know, I thought was cute years ago. We reconnected. And then he gonna message me on the interwebs, talk about, do you have stinky feet? And I truly was offended. Like, what the fuck you mean, do I have stinky feet? No, motherfucker, I bathe in shit. Well, apparently he had some kind of foot fetish and he likes stinky feet, but I wasn't understanding the question.
Oh, yeah, he wanted to rub it all up on his stuff, and that was a deal breaker.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I ain't doing that shit. You can get like, no, not my cup of tea.
What if Brad Pitt said, baby, I really need you.
Is he leaving $1 million check on the counter?
What if he just leaves you with $1 million hickey on your neck?
Hell no. Unless that motherfucker leave me some cash money. Hell
but then
no.
You can call PMZ and get the $1 million check yourself.
They only gonna give me $50,000. Trust me, I've tried. I'm just kidding.
What if you DNA stained Monica Lewinsky styled outfit? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, then you could get you probably $1 million. But I'm saying, no. There's some places like feet are nasty to me. Like, I think, you know, you can have some nice feet, but I'm not going to put your feet in my mouth. And
ew.
I'm not going to have your feet touching certain places in my body.
Disgusting. Mine are hideous. Like, they're awful. I hide them every chance I get. And I tell everyone, God has a sense of humor. Like, he did all right on the rest of me. And then he got to the feet and he went, so, if you want to put these awfulness things, sticks, in your mouth, then I really want to put none of you anywhere around me, and that's just that. Foot fetish people need not apply to KatrinaAJohnson.com. Thank you.
Well, you know, I think, I don't know, for me, it's really weird.
But there's
no
weirder things.
Y'all called me. What's weird?
So, Katrina, what I didn't tell you was I just beeped in the crazy cat lady because, you know, she hasn't been listening.
Hi, crazy
and I was
cat
a little disturbed.
Lady, I love you.
Hello. I love you.
Crazy cat lady, we're talking about people you should not have sex with and talking about horrible sexual experiences. And I know you don't really like to share this story, but I know.
Horrible sexual experiences
is one. And I know you just happen to have a really opening door kind of frightening experience.
Please.
And everybody knows she's a crazy cat lady, so I'm hoping you will share her with us that little story real quickly. We've got like 4 minutes. You know the one that you were like in the club or whatever, and you open up the back room door and you were like,
no. Oh, my. wow. That's my page pretty hard. wow. You know, if you'd have given me like a minute or two to think about this, this is, why don't we make this for another show?
See, Katrina, I tried. You're crazy cat lady.
Okay.
Don't give
you know,
grief.
Crazy cat lady, I love you. We're going to continue this on Monday. Please call in. And I'm going to tell you real quick a crazy story I had with Corey Feldman, the actor.
What? Yeah. Fuck him. He wouldn't come on this show.
Well, what happened was he had tried. He is a very famous swinger. And...
What?
Oh, yeah. And he had a playmate wife that was gorgeous, but she looked 30 years older than she actually was because they're in the swinger lifestyle. And what happened was I was friends with his friends, and they said, come over, we're going to have some drinks and talk about our shows, catch up, everybody's going to hang out, we're going to go in the jacuzzi, and then that's it. I was like, okay, cool. So I get there, I'm the first one there. I go outside, I'm in the jacuzzi, I'm hanging out with Corey and my other friend, and then I go upstairs to take a phone call, I'm talking to my manager, and then all of a sudden I come back downstairs and I go outside to a party that is in full swing within 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, 35 of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in the world show up and they're butt naked in the pool. And I'm shocked, taken aback. I was a virgin. I had never seen anything like that. Daddy's a pastor. And then I was like, what the heck is going on? I was shocked. I was horrified. And I ran away screaming. Right. Well, then, like, 2 weeks later, I'm at the same house. I gave it another chance. My friend's house, my close friend. And... the same thing kind of happened again, and everyone, but it's different. Everyone was like, hey, we're having a party or a wine and cheese party at this house. So I was like, I love wine, I love cheese, let's go. It sounds cool, it sounds respectable. So we go down the street, it's Corey Feldman's house, and his wife is there with him and 35 playmates and 4 guys, and it's a giant orgy. And everyone, it's a swinger party, and they apparently get mad if you just watch. So I had to leave because I was like, oh, no. I'm not down. I don't know you people. I'm not in love with you people. I'm not in a monogamous relationship with you people. I'm not going to marry you people. Hell no. How to get the hell out of there? And my eyes were tainted. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so wait. I have to ask you.
Yes.
So when you say Corey Feldman was swinger, you mean like he was pitch hitting on both sides type of shit or just like he was flop wide?
I didn't see that. But I don't know. I will say that there were threesomes and they would swap partners.
Well, you know, because I tried getting him on the show because I'm like, what the fuck does he got to do with his life right now, right? And then, like, literally 2 weeks later, he was all over, like, ABC talk about everybody knows these pedophiles in Hollywood, but it's not my business to tell you who it is. Well, why the fuck you interrupted my 2020 experience to come on there and tell me there's pedophiles in Hollywood, but you can't tell me who it is. Bitch, we all know there's pedophiles in Hollywood, but what we want to know is who the fuck they are. Because, Katrina, you know we're out of town. We're done. This is it. We got to go back to our drinking experiences.
Bye.
Okay, love you, bye.